Hi there, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Hey, you know, here's an interesting thing. I was noticing myself the other day. I was talking to some people who were talking about the elections. And a woman said to me, "Oh, Obama, please don't disappoint me." And I thought about that. And I thought about what that means. I'm not going to be talking politics. Don't worry, my friends. Oh, don't disappoint me. How many times do you ever feel that when you meet someone? Or when you hope for someone, you know? You take a class and your teacher's sounds just terrific, and you take the class and the teacher turns out not to be as terrific. Oh, please don't disappoint me. After a while, you get through life and you say to yourself, that's the way it works. You know, people generally disappoint you. And if you're lucky, somebody comes along who doesn't, if you're lucky. See, that doesn't mean you give up. Because even though the odds are only one out of 1,000 that you're going to find somebody who doesn't disappoint you, you keep on trying, because that's what nature meant you to do. It meant you to keep on trying and keep on finding possible mates so you could have babies and keep the species going. Now, but there's something about a person who, when you get related to them, they seem to be one way, and then after a while, they seem to be another way. An Israeli man said to me, he said, we have an Israeli saying, a woman marries a man and she wants him to change. A man marries a woman and he wants her to stay the same. An interesting expression. So let's think about this a little bit. What is it? Think about people you've known. Now, it doesn't have to be just love relationships. Could be friendship. Could be job related, you know, people you work with. Could be employees or employers. It could be teachers. It could be mates. It could be any of those. And where I'm going and what I'm going to explore with you today is something you've never heard before. I'm going to show you something that is going to be explain something to you. You see, sometimes you get related to somebody, and then after a period of time, they seem to change. They just seem to be different. And you wonder, what happened? What made them different? This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. It's almost like you unveiled another person. It's like something different. Let's use an example. You might meet somebody who is a very affectionate, loving person. They're very, very affectionate. They're very taken to you. They're willing to be with you. Physically, they're very affectionate. Verbally, they're very affectionate. And after a period of time, even if it is a number of years, it could be 5 years or something, they're no longer saying the sweet things. They're no longer being the nice way. They're no longer even sexually interested in you. What happened? They changed. That's an interesting thing. You find somebody who is very exciting, and they're wild, and they're crazy, and they're sexual, and it's terrific. After a while, they're bored, they're disinterested. You find somebody else who you could care for, and they're totally dependable, and they're there all the time. And after a while, they're independent. And they don't spend as much time or want to spend as much time with you. Or you find somebody who's very stable, very, very stable, and they're very solid. And all of a sudden you find out, you uncover, or this other part of them appears that makes them seem very flaky. What happens? How does that happen? Well, here's my theory, and this is, I think, a very important thing. Here's what I think happens at first. I think very often when we meet people for the first time, we meet them in their not-so-best self. Very often you meet somebody who's out there and they're depressed, they're needy, they're hungry, they're desperate, they're lonely, they're feeling a certain way. So when you meet somebody for the first time, they have a certain face that they put on. Now, they may be this kind of person. And then after a while, when they get comfortable, the mask unveils. And what appears instead is the real person. So let's say, for example, you fell in love. You're a man and you fall in love with this totally wonderful, giving woman, for example. And she's totally loving and giving, and she gives you everything you want, and she's very affectionate. And then time passes by, and she's not so giving, and she's not so affectionate, and she's not so loving, and she's not so attentive. What happened? What turned her off, is the question you ask. Well, I have a proposal for you. I say, what turned her on? See, I believe that what you may have met was the pathology. Pathology is a funny word. But it's a funny word, and it means that what you meet when you meet somebody for the first time and you start your relationship with them, you meet something that comes out of the part of themselves that is desperate, hungry. When their hungry self is behaving, it behaves a certain way. When their satiated self, when they're not hungry anymore, behaves, it behaves very differently. Think of your dog. You know, your dog is hungry. It's all over you. He's like, no, you got food, you got food, you got food. That's what a dog is. You got food, you got scratches. What do you got? You give the dog enough food, you give him enough scratches, the dog is suddenly a different kind of animal. Right? Very different. So maybe, my friends, that when you love someone, you love them so much that not they turn into a different kind of person, but they unveil themselves to you. And what happens is you're seeing the real self that's under the false self that was presented to you in the first place. Not that they meant to present themselves in a false way. It wasn't an illusion. Let's use some good examples, okay? I mean, you may see when you meet somebody, you know, you think you're very attractive, but let's say you're depressed and you meet somebody who's very strong and you're a depressed, let's say depressed woman, and you meet a strong man who's very dominant, and since everybody's been ignoring you, you feel like you're not worth anything to anybody, this guy comes over and he possesses you, he calls you, he dominates you. He calls you all the time. He's like filled with testosterone. He wants to be with you all the time in a hot and heavy kind of way. Well, this is matching what you need, because at the moment you're feeling insignificant and meaningless. So you meet this kind of guy and you say, what a terrific guy. And you tell your girlfriends, I met the most terrific guy. He's always attentive. He's strong. He's that kind of guy. He's very sexual. He's wonderful. Well, what happens over time? Over time, he suddenly gets off that part of him that just feels like he's compensating for feeling inadequate, you know? And he begins to feel adequate. Maybe he begins to feel comfortable. Now he's not so possessive. Now he's not so demanding. Now he's not so accusatory. Now he's nicer. And now, for example, in the past, when you went out with him, if somebody said something bad, he'd say, I'll knock his block off. And you'd say, oh, that's my man. He's a strong guy. Now he hears something, and instead what he says is, let it go. I don't care. So that's a very interesting thing to be going through, because if you go through that, if you go through that, then you suddenly think he changed. There was a change in that man. Hey, hold on just a second, friends. Is there a change in him? Is there a change? Did he really change, or did he just unveil the real self that is underneath the presenting self? So, for example, if you meet people who are very loving. Now, two things happen here. Number one is the person who manifests themselves when they first meet you is not the real self. Let's say that it's some nervous part of a person. if you meet somebody who's too loving, and they're so loving, there are people who are so loving, so adoring, so fabulous. They could be, you know, if you, from the psychiatric point of view, they could be manic depressive, they could be borderline, they could be passive aggressive, they could be anything. Just be sweet, wonderful, kissing, loving people. When they relax, they don't have to put out so much effort. When they relax, and it may be that you've loved them so well and you've taken care of them so well that they could unveil their real personality. So here's what I'm saying to you, friends. People don't change. They unveil. That what you saw at the beginning was one thing, a dynamic that existed as an interaction between you and that person. Your needs and their needs got together for that moment. Then you two settled together and you loved each other and you had a nice time and they relax and there's no tension and they're not worried about losing you and they unveil their real self. This is Armand DeMille with you. If you think about somebody, what your needs are, you know, sometimes if you've been kicked around a while, you wind up falling in love with somebody who's dependent. A dependent personality, you know, an alcoholic or a drug dependent or somebody who's very needy, right? Now, that's kind of situational if they are that way. They weren't born that way. So then you fall in love with them. And why do you fall in love with them? Because there's one thing about addicts, they are dependable. They are going to come home to roost because they got no other place to go. They come home to you. Even if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, they come home to you. You can depend on them. But let's say they give up the addiction. So now they're not as dependable. Now they're more themselves. A different thing emerges. Fascinating, isn't it? There are people who I said, not before I talked about the powerful people, they're the exciting people. The people who are high energy, they're exciting, they're revved, they're, you know, they're the people who are the big spenders, for example. Now, big spending could be a sign of manic depressive illness in its manic phase. And a person who's out there splashing money all over the place, when you see, hey, big spender, you know, the guy who's got the convertible car and the diamond rings and he buys presents for everybody and he's got 2 bottles of champagne. That guy is very attractive to a lot of people. He's the big spender. He's very generous. Well, what happens when he begins to realize that he doesn't have to compensate for who he is, and he just relaxes? And when he relaxes, he just takes it easy, and he calms down, and now he doesn't feel as manic. So let's say he becomes normal. He becomes normal, and all of a sudden, he's a different kind of guy. All of a sudden, he's worried about whether or not you should buy one kind of gasoline or another. Do we need 89 or do we need 93 or do we need 87 for the car? And you look at him and you go, what happened? What happened? Where was this generous guy? Well, maybe he became sane. And I'm going to make it even tougher on you. Maybe you drove him sane. Maybe not that you changed the man, but maybe you unveiled him or you unveiled the woman. Maybe you just unveiled them. Maybe you just gave them enough love so they could be themselves. And their selves is different than what you originally needed. Now, this is not so bad if the two of you are growing at the same time. Because if you unveil while they unveil, you know, it's really beautiful. Then you get two new selves. It's a whole new thing. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I want to talk to you about your experience of this as well. We'll be taking your calls today. 212-209-2950. Everybody, whatever they manifest at first, has a potential dark side to them. There's a dark side. It doesn't necessarily have to appear. You can get the most stable, dependable person, and you could see if you get somebody who likes to line up the ducks and they like everything to be in order and you fall in love with them because they're so organized. They usually have a secret side. They usually have a side they tell nobody about. You see, they may be sexual. Usually it's a kind of a sexual secret, like a penchant for something that's a little abnormal. So then you're with this kind of a person, and you see, first you're with this guy who's really terrific and he has everything organized. And then all of a sudden you discover as he relaxes, as he becomes more in love with you, you start seeing he's got a porn collection. You know? And you wonder, how did this happen? He changed. He was such a good guy. Well, it unveiled. He let you discover his porn collection. You see, he let you find him. Sometimes it's an invitation. Sometimes it's an invitation for you to really dance. Instead of knowing the not him, you get to know the real him. And it's an invitation. Here's a chance now. Hey, instead of me being the very secure, dominant guy that you think I am, I want to tell you how insecure I really am underneath, and he is the real me. Can you handle it? Well, sometimes because you're caught in your spot, or because you don't want to be taking care of another little boy, you say to yourself, no. No, I'm looking for somebody who's not in that way, and that's okay, too. Therefore, 90% of all relationships usually fizz out. You know, and the other 10%, they kind of go for a period of time. And a very, very small percentage of them continue and actually work. And you know the ones that work? The ones that work are the people who flow with the changes, with the unveiling. Because just as you, and you could, I saw this the other day, I remember a woman who was dressed, always dressed to the hilt, wearing the most fashionable, sexy clothes you could imagine everywhere she went. And she was just, you know, dressed to the nines. She got married. What appeared? Dumpy jeans. And I mean dumpy jeans. Dumpy jeans, lumpy sweaters. And she completely was different. Now, here's a guy, he married her, he thought he was marrying this model, right? And now she unveils who she really is. Well, wait, I don't have to be this person anymore. I wasn't fooling you. I am this act. I am also the person underneath. A very good example of this is people who are real thin. You know, the people who are afraid of being fat and they're so thin and they're thin all the time and they're diet conscious all the time and they get into a relationship and they let themselves go and they get heavier. Why? Because they weren't so compulsive anymore, because they feel loved and they feel secure. And so they feel that it's okay. It's okay. I can show myself to you. How many times have you done it? How many times have you been one way with a person and then you kind of are different with them? There are other things related to this. I'll talk about erotomania for a minute. Erotomania is an interesting kind of thing. You see a person or you know about a person and you have fantasies about them being a certain kind of person. So you fall in love with like a movie star or something like this. And you project onto them all this image of who they are, which is usually the character they are on screen. You know, you expect them to be the kind of person they were in the movies. You expect John Wayne to be John Wayne. You know? And then you meet him, and not John Wayne, but you meet the person, and suddenly he's different. He's mushy. He's completely sweet. He doesn't have a horse. You know what I mean? And you say to yourself, this is... Who is this person? Well, very often when you project onto somebody something that they are, they're easy to unveil. When you see something in the news that betrays them, it's a terrible thing, and a lot of people just react completely against the person. Somebody made a good comparison. They said it's like this. You buy a house. And you buy a house, it's the beginning of the spring or the summer, and you have a wonderful time. And did I buy a good house? Yeah, you bought a good house. Look at what a wonderful summertime you can have. You open the windows, you get the country air, it's really nice. Everything is fine, it's beautiful, it's the birds are chirping. Terrific. The winter comes. Suddenly the pipes start screaming. You hear leaks coming through your ceilings. There are infestations of different things that love to find refuge in your warmth of your house. You're filled with problems of the house that you couldn't even imagine in the first place. What happened? Did you buy a bad house? Or did you buy a house that was just had yet to show you its winter side, its winter coat? And there it is. You have neighbors. You know, you buy a house and you have neighbors who weren't there all summer because they went away on vacation. The winter comes and the neighbors come out and they are lunatic teenage kids who are screaming up and down your street. Is it a bad house? Are they bad people? How about this one? Shipboard romance. That's even better. You go on a tour somewhere. You go on a shipboard something, you know, a cruise. And you're on a cruise and you meet somebody on the cruise and you are perfect. You're in your bathing suit. You meet somebody who's in their bathing suit so you don't see any real stuff about them. And all you want to do is share affection and they're out of touch with you, with the world, and you're traveling around the Caribbean or somewhere. And then as soon as they land on shore, as soon as the cruise is over, they turn their cell phones back on. And a whole different person emerges. Self-confident people can usually unveil a very secretive and fearful person. Complacent people can become very nervous and anxious. They can unveil that. The people who are the lively, you know, the joy of the party, the fun of the party people, they can easily, believe it or not, this person who's so loose and so wild, they can become perfectionistic and critical. The person who is like this dutiful person who is always there, the most loyal of all people, they can become really arrogant and competitive. And what it does is it just shows you what's underneath this personality, not who is the real self, but the real self is a combination of all of it. But what you see emerging underneath is something that just doesn't match you anymore because you loved it one way and it became another way because they turned out another way. Bosses. I think I'll work for this boss. This is the best boss in the world. He's a wonderful boss because he's a fabulous boss. And they turn out to be a boss, you know. They turn out to be somebody. Employees. You hire an employee, they're so spirited, they're so willing, they're so happy, and they turn out to be somebody who just can barely pick their head up. 212-209-2900. How many times has it happened to you? Is it disappointment? When it emerges, what emerges? How many times has it happened to you? 212-209-2900 is our number. We're going to take some calls. How many times has it happened to you? You've been disappointed. But I'm telling you, you saw it from one perspective. The perspective you saw was that this person has changed. And the real truth is, the real self got unveiled. If you meet somebody for the first time and they're hot, exciting, wonderful, great, fabulous partners who can't have enough of you, and then suddenly you find out that they've only been this way with you and no one else, be careful. Because when a person says to you, you know, I've never been this way, I've never been this talkative, I've never been, what they're saying is at the moment I'm responding to you, but the real way I am is another way. Well, that other way is going to appear, I promise you. When a person says to you, I've never been this sexual, you can get ready. The unsexual self is what's going to manifest. That's just there for the moment. I've never been this revealing. Well, the private self's going to unveil. So people kind of tell you who they are, and they try to tell you who they are. But we don't often want to listen because our needs kind of want us to produce in people who they are. We want you to be at our command and be the person who serves me and takes and gives me what I need. If I want a strong person, I want you to be strong. So you get somebody who a man meets a woman and this woman is a businesswoman and she's strong and he says, I love that woman because she's strong. And then all of a sudden he's with her and she turns out to be really like needy, and after a while she turns out to be, it's just the other side was unveiled. Anybody who is strongly one way or another has the opposite to unveil. Anybody who is dominant is really submissive. Anybody who is submissive is really dominant. Anybody who is angry is depressed, is sad. Anybody who is sad is angry. There's two sides to everybody. And if you expect that it'll only be one side, that's where we get disappointed. That's why the lady says, "Oh, Obama, please don't disappoint me." She says, "I got my hopes up here. I'm looking for something to make me feel better about my life and the way it's crumbled. And I'm hoping you're not going to unveil somebody who makes political moves or somebody who does something, like has a whole debate and never says the word Iraq. Don't be that guy to me. Please." Well, my friends, unfortunately, people are people. And they're only people. And there are many sides to them. So when we get back from our break today, we're going to take your calls at 212-209-2900. There's a lot of questions that it brings to you, you know? I mean, should you be able to spot it at the beginning? The whole thing seems to happen with expectations. It's just, if you know what you need, and you know, if you know what you need, oh, this is a new expression. If you know what you need, you know what you feed. I like it. That means if you understand your needs, you know what you're creating in the other person. So if you meet somebody for the first time and the guy is not really very strong, but you keep reminding him how strong he is, you keep feeding his strong self because you need him to be strong, he'll be strong. That's who you're feeding. But what happens when his belly gets filled? So you got to know what you need. You got to know what your needs are. And if you understand your needs, then you'll know what you're going to feed. I can't really go too far with this. If you know what you need, you know what you'll feed. But somebody right now is writing it on their mirror. I know. They're putting it in there. They're writing it down right now. I have somebody once wrote a book, Quotations from the Positive Mind. You know what the most popular one that people remembered was? They said, tears, I said this once while I was talking about crying. I said, tears are the sweat of the heart. That one is most quoted. I see that in a couple of books every now and then. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. What about you, my friends? All these disappointments that you've had with people, you know, are they really, if you think back on them, are they disappointments, or did the person just disrobe? You know, did they just get naked in front of you? And when they were naked, you looked at them and you said, it's not what I was hoping for. Not exactly what I was hoping for. But the more secure you are, the interesting thing is, the more secure you are, if you pick somebody who unveils a slight variation of the theme that you're hoping for, you go along with the variation, and you could easily meet them just where they are. You could change with them. In other words, you could unveil your sensitive self with their sensitive self. Let's say that you have a relationship where this person is very strong, and you two are having a hot, wonderful time, and you're laughing all the time, and you're happy all the time, right? And suddenly you find out the person you're happy with has really got underneath some deep sadness. And you find that there's a depth to their sadness. And when you're alone with them, you see them staring off and they're a little depressed. And then you get a chance to unveil your sadness. And the two of you talk about it. And you say, you know, I am a little that way too. And you're a little that way too. Yeah, I'm a little that way too. You could have a whole different relationship, a whole new dynamic, exciting thing. 212-209-2900. We're going to take a short break right now. And when I come back, I'll play a little very special music about change, and then we'll continue our discussion.
You've changed. That sparkle in your eyes is gone. Your smile. You're breaking my heart. You've changed. You've changed. Your kisses now are so blasé. understand you've changed. You've forgotten the words I love you. Each memory that we've shared, you ignore every star above you. I can't realize you ever care. You've changed. You're not the angel I once knew. No need to tell me that we're through. It's all over now. You've changed. We've shared. You ignore every star above you. I can't realize you ever care. You've changed. You're not the angel I once knew. It's all over now. You've changed. You've changed.
Lady Day. Yes, Billie Holiday. From the Lady in Satin album, You've Changed. So this is Armand DeMille with you with the positive mind. One of my dear friends said, oh, you've said this before. And I said to them, no, I haven't said this before. This is very different. This is not that when you meet somebody for the first time, they're very nice and wonderful. And what they unveil later is their hidden crazy self. No. What they are when they meet you is one thing. And when they get comfortable, they unveil their real self, whatever the real self is, which may be crazy. But very often the real self is not that crazy. It's just different. And you keep thinking they've changed. You keep thinking, oh, you've changed. No. You've unveiled. You've shown me who's underneath there. Thank you very much. Now, a lot of people keep the pressure up. In the dating game, you say to the other person, well, if you're going to be this other person, I'm not going to date you. So it makes you keep the pressure up. You better be that happy-go-lucky, or you better be that very dependent, you know, dependable person, or you better be this way or that way, or you better be exciting. You know, I'm not going to want to be with you otherwise. So you can keep the pressure up when you're dating. That's an advantage of not getting married. Coupling. Oh, my God, it's an invitation. It's an invitation to unveil. Yep. That's why they say it always pays to wear a little clothing. You know what I mean? Because the complete naked self is not always, always totally acceptable to the other person because it's a shock. You know, it's a surprise. They want what they think they have and what they think they've found. I know wonderful people. I know wonderful people who, if you were to get them the way they are when they're at their best and you get them unveiled, they would be fabulous either way as friends. But as mates, it's a whole different story. You know, when you're living real up close to somebody and you got to be with them all the time, it's a whole different story. So the secret here is the expectations. I think every time you meet somebody, the question you've got to ask is, well, let's watch this unfold. So let's not say, I hope Obama doesn't change. Let's say, let's see what unfolds. And whatever it is, it's part of reality. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take one of your calls. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello there.
Oh, hi. Sorry about that. When I married my husband...
What's your name, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Francesca.
Hello, Francesca.
Hi. When I married my husband, I basically knew all the sides to him, I thought. And then as the marriage went on, I started to notice something. I knew he was always had a tendency to rage, but just like verbally, like some pent-up aggression. But I did notice that he starts to hurt when he's joking around physically, you know, with me or my daughter. And I didn't notice that before. And
right. You would forgive it because you had certain needs, right?
Yeah.
You had a need to see it as aggressive and strong and wonderful and nice, right?
Yeah.
And what happened to you was after a while, you suddenly saw, oh, wait, there's that thing. It's not so comfortable. It's not so nice. So this is a classic example of it. Was your husband like a very pleasant, sweet, wonderful man?
Yes, very confident. He was very protective of me, which is what attracted me to him. I liked that very tough. You know, he's very dominating.
Uh huh. And you like that?
Huh.
And you liked that.
I loved it. That's what I wanted. I wanted a lot of protection. I wanted that man in my life like my dad used to be. But, you know, he's now becoming, like, accidentally, when he's tickling my daughter, he'll just accidentally hurt her. And he'll say, he'll be devastated by it. And he'll be like, I can't believe I did that. And I'm like, well, that's the third time that's happened.
And well, you see, there's another level that he's also uncovering, not only his aggression and the hostility that he's probably always had, but he's also showing you that he feels a little out of control.
Yeah.
And he's showing you that this very controlling person is really controlling because he feels out of control. And what you've now got is both the man who's in control and the man who feels powerless and out of control. That's why he feels so much remorse. And this is a thing, how long are you married?
We've only been married 5 years.
Well, 5 years is about the time it happens.
Oh.
That's just about the time people take their clothes off. Just about the time you see the unveiling. You know, that's just about the time you see people's personalities start to really manifest and unfold.
Well, he is always, always trying his best to keep it in check. I can't say he's the happiest person right now because we are trying to have another child and he's not happy that it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
And when he sees his nieces and his nephews, he's even aggressive with them.
Yeah, so the two of you need to somehow, you remember now, you said you love his aggressive self.
Right.
So there's a part of you that needs, and therefore there's a part of you that feeds. I wonder what would happen if we got the two of you in a room with somebody like a therapist or somebody like me, and the two of you really took off your masks, not accusatorily, but in a way of identifying yourself. And you were able to learn how to talk in such a way that you could say, here's who I really am. Now, the difficulty with that is you've got to be able to do it. You've got to be able to find out who you are in order to present that. But that's the beauty of doing that with a third person. Then the two of you, you know, I see romance in the most interesting, confused way.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people I know in life are like children who I consider to be lost in a crawl space. You know, you're a child, you're in the crawl space of a house, you know, and you're kind of dirty and ragged and you've been wounded and you're scratched and you're bruised. And you're going through this thing and you keep wondering, is there ever going to be anybody else here or is it just me? And you're going through, and then suddenly, somewhere in the distance, you see something, and you think at first, oh, it's a mouse. Oh, no, it's a rat. Oh, no, it's another kid. And this other kid who's tattered and bruised walks over to where you are, and the two of you look at each other, and you reach out your fingers, and you touch each other. And you find safety. and you find each other. That's what I think most people are. I think most people are kind of tattered children,
yeah,
trying to find the opposite. You've still got some stuff to do about your dad, you know.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, I have a lot. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I was just going to tell you, my dad's dying.
Yeah, I know. I could tell.
From alcoholism.
Yeah.
Oh, you can tell?
I could tell, yeah. He's out of control. I could see.
He's dying, yeah.
And he's not, he could never give you what you really wanted.
My dad?
Your dad, yeah.
Yeah, no, he couldn't.
And he can't give it to you now.
No.
So you're going to go through a lot of changes with your husband. And don't be surprised if your father's illness in some way manifests in your husband's aggression. It's crazy.
What do you mean?
If somehow what you need, you feed, and somehow the very part of you that is losing your father is somehow unconsciously encouraging your husband to be like your father.
It's happening.
I know. See, and it's a system.
And do I need to be aware of that to stop it?
You got to swing with it. You need a therapist.
Okay.
You need an outside observer. You need a good outside observer.
Okay.
You really do. That's catch it while it's happening now, and your children will not be, you know, the people who suffer for it.
I know.
You know?
Okay.
It's okay, but don't do it out of guilt. Do it out of joy.
I will. Okay.
Okay, Francesca?
Thank you so much.
Find an Italian therapist. 212-209-2900. This is Armand Mille. Hi, let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
All right. I just want to thank you for...
What's your name?
Oh, my name is Max.
Max, thank you.
I just want to thank you, first off, for dropping so much knowledge every day. You really, helped me through the day, and I just...
I'm really appreciating that, Max. Where do you listen to me?
I work for a TV studio, so I drive around a lot, so I listen in the car.
In the car, in the TV studio, and what do you do for the TV studios?
I'm a production assistant.
Yeah,
I
great.
I work on the TV show 30 Rock.
I see, you're a PA for 30 Rock,
yeah.
and you bring me along with you somewhere.
Yeah, you ride around with me in Queens all day.
That's really great. That's really great. Well, I appreciate that, Max.
I think you just hit it right on the head, and everything you're saying is so right on. And me and my brother were just having a discussion about this last night about, you know, false expectations about, you know, wanting someone to be a certain way or be what you want them to be and you know, wanting them to live up to that.
Yep. And you have that in your life? Have you had somebody who you met who you were hoping would live up to their expectations? Your expectations?
Oh, all the time. I mean, also what you were saying about, you know, being overly nice. I mean, I do that all the time. If I'm interested in a woman, I'll just, you know, I'll do everything for her. And then at some point I become uninterested and then those things go away.
Yeah, well, you know, do you become uninterested or is this what happens? You have this thing you do, which is very smart. You know, there are birds in nature. They build nests. And they build nests, and they give the nests extra colors to make the colors look really nice. And then they want to attract the other birds, so they have extra feathers that they wear. And they do all this fake stuff to attract their mate. Then once they get their mate, they shed everything. They don't have to have it anymore. Now, what you may do at the beginning is you may be extra nice at the beginning. And then when you get your person who you're with, you just unfold who you really are. It's not disinterest, but basically you are disinterested. Basically, you are not this dynamic, loving, giving self. You just got to do it in order to get somebody, you know?
Right.
But the real self is there. Now, you know, that doesn't mean you're wrong. What's going to happen is somewhere along the line, you're going to meet a mate who is wise enough to expect that to happen in you. They're going to say, oh, look at him. Look how strong he is, and look how wise he is, and look how wonderful he is. Wait till the real him unfolds. I hope I could love that, too.
Right.
And when you're lucky, you find somebody who can love all of you.
Right. Well, that's definitely what I'm trying to do now, is trying to start off from a place of more realness, not being, so superficial about it, and try to be real from the beginning, and maybe even establish a friendship with somebody how you would a friend, not necessarily the superficial dating game.
It's an interesting thing, Max, because then you have to take the sex out of it. You know? You have to kind of remove the sexual part at the beginning.
Well, that's always the question that I have.
I know.
What's the difference between a really close girlfriend that you get along with, all, but you aren't sexually engaged, and then you have a girlfriend who you're sexually engaged with, but you can't have a conversation?
Isn't it amazing?
It's crazy.
It's amazing. It's amazing because, you know, all these hormones and all these things that take place in your body and all the things that happen once you get into a sexual involvement, it's a totally different relationship. It's all different. I think you're right. I think, you know, not because there's anything wrong with a sexual relationship, but friends first.
Mm.
Friends first. Get friendly first. See how that is.
Right. See how they interact in certain situations.
See how you interact. Instead of analyzing them, watch yourself. See how you could become real.
Mm.
And being real is never being harsh. Being real is being as vulnerable as you could be, but not being a mush partner. You know, being vulnerable doesn't mean that you're sitting around looking like a weak, falling down kind of guy. Being real means
right.
You are who you are.
Right.
You're a good guy, Max. Thank you very much.
Hey,
and
thanks
for carrying me around the station, sure.
Definitely.
Okay, I'll think about you.
Take care, man.
Right. 212-209-30's Rock. And you know how many people have sampled my voice? There's a number of brand band did it. A couple of other people said you could hear these records, these music records, and you'll hear this rock song all of a sudden, and then boom, my voice comes in the middle of it. It's kind of cute. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille, let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. I was just thinking about what you were saying, and I've always found that it's really not so much about how people change. People are always changing in dynamic, so even if someone is being real on day one, on day two or year three, they may have grown or changed as a person, and really what's amplifies this, I understand what you're talking about is needs, but what amplifies one need from another, in my opinion, is always, if I have a need for someone to be strong, and my perception of them is to be strong, if they do something minor that makes them seem weaker in my mind, my opinion of them is amplified by my expectation.
Right, so, your negative opinion.
Right, right, well, yeah, if that turned me off or that made me feel that the person had changed, my perception is amplified because I have set expectations of what I need.
Yeah, sure. Sure, but, you know, and that makes you understand, if, because you have that perception of yourself, what's your name?
Elijah.
Elijah. So since you have that, Elijah, since you have that awareness of yourself, then you will find yourself saying to yourself, what is this that I want when I want strength in another person? What is it about me? Where is that softness in me? What is that vulnerability in me that thinks it needs another person to protect me? And when you make peace with that, when you find that part of you, then you're no longer looking for it in another person. And then the person you're with can be who they are, which is always a combination of strength and vulnerability. There is no human who is all strong. There is no human who is all vulnerable. There is no human who is all nice. You know, well, it's always a mixture.
Yeah, the way I always looked at it, I guess, came from a quote, and it's, I guess we view ourselves as our hopes, dreams, and aspirations, and we view others by their actions and what, we perceive others as what they do, what they say, the facial expressions they make. It's not a direct quote, but it's kind of saying that when you think about who I am, you're always thinking with you're thinking all encompassing. But when you're trying to figure out who another person is, you're dealing with a very small set of data to make that kind of analysis of
that's
who
right.
the person is.
That's right.
And
over
time, your perception of them is just getting better. So if you remove the opinion, you're getting to know them better, like you're saying.
Well, you know, and it's a beautiful thing because if you think about it, if you're not stuck on anybody being a certain way, you know, or not being a certain way, it's like opening a gift. It's like a present. You know, it's like this person is going to manifest another part of themselves every day. They're going to show you something else. And if you're not expecting and you're not hoping they change and you're not forcing them one way or another, you get to see the prize. You know, a gift. It's like that's like not expecting, not judging by the past, not judging by the future, but judging by the present. That's why they call it a present.
I guess the only question I had in your opinion is, if you walk into a relationship with that in hand, and you expect somebody to change, how do you deal if the other person isn't expecting you to grow or change or reveal certain parts of yourself? So how do you manage that person's expectations, so to speak?
Well, okay, let's go back to yesterday's show where I talked about being real. Once you're real, you don't even get concerned with their expectations. It's all right. It's all right. Once you're in there and you're saying, whoever appears, that's who I'm going to be with, I'll deal with that. You also are okay with whatever their reaction is. So once you're really settled in with, you know, getting the joy of watching somebody be who they are, once you get into that, you don't have to worry about the other side of it. Because however they react, it doesn't matter. You're still you.
It's just, I guess if you, you know, when you're with someone and you love someone, and you're watching them grow and you understand them, and sometimes when they don't always understand you, it's kind of like you don't want anything.
Well, Elijah, give me an example of that. Who are you talking about? You're talking about somebody you just with?
I'm talking about the little things that come up.
Give me a little thing. Give me an example.
When you're in the beginning of the relationship, when you move in, you know, as your relationship progresses, you can buy a house, you get married. And then the world's expectations of both of you change in a way of when you're dating, you only have to...
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Elijah, let me try this, okay? What you're doing as you speak to me is you're generalizing. You're talking about when you. You mean when I. Could you give me a very specific about Elijah? I got married. I got a house. My neighbors...
Well, I got a house, and I feel that, you know, after moving in, there's a lot more... just simple housework around the house that needs to be done, and my girlfriend feels that maybe I'm not doing as much as I used to do, but we're both doing a lot more than we've ever done.
So it's
perfect. Kind of like, have I changed, am I doing less, or do we both just feel like we're doing more? So how do you when you see it as we're both just doing more, How do I manage my girlfriend?
The thing you have to find out from the thing you have to find out from your girlfriend is what she needs in herself. She's saying to you, she finds it overwhelming. And just as everybody does with their mate, she's turning around to you and saying, you got to take care of the other part. But the truth of it is, she's finding it more than she expected. See, she's bit off more than she could chew. So it's really her with herself that she's dealing with. She's dealing with her frustration with herself, and she's turning it towards you. That makes sense. The two of you can sit down and talk about it. Maybe you need some help, you know? Maybe you don't feel like doing all this work. You know, maybe you don't feel like having a house, you know? It's all okay. Hey, I got to get going, Elijah. Thank you so much for calling in, you know? Thank you. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM. If you want to get in touch with me, it's 212-757-4488. Hey, listen, you can hear today's program on WBAI.org. And if you have any donations or anything to give to the station, go in through there. And you can see there are vehicles for you to make donations to WBAI.